B-Pod Studios.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Arm point now, Martian. High slot. Feeds it down low. Let's go!
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And there was pucks and paddles, $100-some-odd thousand raised for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
$119,000.
Most ever. And the Boston Bruins Foundation. But all the players there are very nice. David Pastrnak was there. Rich, and we were thinking about something to do with the young man.
Sure. I mean, you know, in years past, we've done some bits with athletes. I think the very first one that we did was when Teddy Bruschi was in town, and or he was coming in studio to record some commercials, and Fred and I had been up for a while, and we were kind of loopy, and we were just sitting there saying, all right, what are we going to do with Teddy Bruschi? I said, what if we have him do, like, Rush songs, and we called it Getty Bruschi? And Fred and I were just like, he's never going to do it.
Right.
And but we know that if we ask him and he says no, at least we have a story because he's a fairly intimidating human being. And then sure enough, he said yes, which gave birth to Getty Bruschi, one of my all-time favorite segments.
Yeah, that still remains the best.
It might be the best. And then you had, of course, Brad Marchand, who was doing hits of the 80s as Rad Marchand, another great one. Did we do one with Milan Lucic?
I don't think so.
We did. It was all Spanish songs. He was the luchador.
Oh, the luchador. Okay. Yeah. I know we did the Bacchus Boys.
Bacchus, that's right. So, you know, this time comes around again, and we said, you know what, who better than to do something with us than to ask the biggest goal scorer on the team? So we came up with this.
Hi, this is David Pastrnak from the Boston Bruins.
Center deflected. They score!
But today, I'm David Pastafarian. Hey, look, a banana boat.
Of course, every Rastafarian.
Very big on the banana boat.
Okay.
All right. It's David Pastafarian.
Yes, he's... I would take it, Rich, he's doing songs. Maybe not the... pure reggae song.
Sure.
Not the purest, but something maybe with a patois involved or something of that.
Well, we thought it'd be perfect because his accent is very similar to that of a Jamaican.
Absolutely. You could think he's right from the East Indian Islands.
So here's how it's going to work. John, you're going to be our player this today, okay?
Okay, I was there when you put this together, but all right.
Okay, all right, so you want someone to call in? Should we take a caller?
I think we should take a caller. I was there for the genesis of this.
Okay, then we should take a caller.
All right, 617-779-0985. Again, you'll have to be very familiar with for the most part, very bad reggae-esque songs.
Sure. They don't have to be like, you know, ones that are, you know, known as, you know, some of the all-time greats.
Yeah, these are going to be more familiar than anything else.
Yeah, I would think so. So I will play you a clip of David Pastafarian doing the lyrics of some of these songs, and you just need to identify what the artist is of the song.
Sure.
You know, and it's really that simple. So we'll play that segment, and once again, it is...
David Pastafarian.
Yes, it's David Pastafarian. So, all right, let's go ahead and take this call right here.
A bird, by the way, it rang a few times before he...
why wreck a good streak?
Bird's got stuff to do.
There we go.
Okay, yeah. Let's go to...
And Monty?
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's how we're going to play. Is that Rich will play the David Pastrnak dry audio, and then you will have to tell us the name of the song. There is no prize. The only prize will be feeling good about yourself.
Just glory.
Perfect.
All right, Monty, here we go. Here is track number one.
But you called me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me.
Okay, who is that artist?
That's Shaggy, isn't it?
Let's take a listen.
But you called me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me. Honey came in the shower. Caught me. Caught me. Creeping with a girl next door. Picture this. We were both butt naked. Banging on the bathroom floor. I had to try to keep her from what she was about to see. Why should she believe when I told her it wasn't me? Legalize it.
So that is correct.
The best is when you can hear where Rich really had to edit it.
When the voice gets all right. He's going to stretch out those notes.
All right. Well, very good, Monty. You got the first one.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Track number two. Can you name this artist?
Informer. You know, say, Daddy, Miss Nomi, I will go blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down.
All right. Do you know who that is?
That's Snow.
That is Snow.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take a listen.
Informer, you know, say, Daddy, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me, know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, you know, say, Daddy, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me, know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Cool Runnings.
I mean, Banana Boats and Cool Runnings. Just everything about Rastafarianism. Yeah. By the way, Snow, surprisingly,
boom, boom down.
Gets respect. Like,
really?
Right? Yes, he's not. No, he's not like a Vanilla Ice guy. Apparently, he's he's a little legit.
Okay.
I could just see Zolak loves that song. He's on his way in saying, Pastafarian, all right.
Well, he's probably listening to REO Speedway.
David Pastafarian.
That's who it is, yes.
All right, Monty.
Boom, boom, down.
It's been amazing so far. What a ride.
All right. Can you name the following artists from David Pasternak? Here we go.
Pastaducci on the left-hand side. Pastaducci on the left-hand side.
Okay.
It's tough. It's from the 80s.
Pastaducci on the left-hand side. I can't remember the artist.
Okay,
name.
I'll give you the first word. It's two words. Musical.
I don't know, man. I can't think
They're
of it.
They're kids. Musical.
Musical children.
Okay, that's close
musical.
Enough.
It's musical. Musical. Sorry, here we go.
This generation rules the nation with the version. Boom, boom, biddy diddy, boom, 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 biddy diddy, biddy, boom, boom, boom. Pastaducci on the left hand side. 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 I was negative 13 when this song came out.
That's true.
That is true.
He was about negative 13, yes. Yeah.
By the way, Dutchie or Ducci, by the way, not marijuana. Okay. All right, let's go.
A lick it, boom, boom, down.
All right, Monty, that's all right. That's a tough band to name. Now, Monty, let's get the artist for this one.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy.
This is a...
Amber is the color of your energy.
You're just playing into these Hicks hands. There's no band that would be more happy to have be associated with this. This makes Shaggy look like Bob Marley. All right. Unfortunately, Monty, what is the name of that band?
These are your favorite fellas, those white boys named 311.
From Nebraska who put on patois.
That's right.
Oh, it's right.
The color of your energy. Whoa. Amber is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
Just the balls on that guy being from Nebraska and putting on that fake patois. Like, I don't know how he looks people in the eye.
I have to hear the end of that one more time.
The color of your energy. Whoa. Amber is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
They're not.
They are not good band.
Right, is there one more, Rich?
No, we have one more. All right. Can you name this artist, Monty, on the phone from David Pasternak, a.k.a. David Pastafarian?
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it in note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. happy.
All right, the obviously Rastafarian who wrote this is... it's Bobby McFerrin. Let's not torture people.
Take it away.
Obviously, the renowned Rastafarian.
Take it away.
Bobby McFerrin.
David Rastafarian.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it in note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. That's a tough singing, right? Every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. I got it all. And I didn't even meant to, but I read it, and all of a sudden I said, don't worry, be happy.
All right, got him to sing it. Something at the end. He should have had to do all the voices, too. All right, Monty, congratulations.
Yes, sir. Congratulations,
congratulations,
sir.
You did quite well.
I won my pride for the day.
You That's won your right, pride. Man. Yes, you did. Congratulations.
Hi, this is David Bossert.
See you, fellas.
See you later.
David Bossert from the Boston Bruins.
Center deflected. They score! Astronaut champs into the open far side.
But today, I'm David Rastafarian. David Rastafarian. Hey, look, a banana boat.
I mean, I was there when we were doing it, and there was a bunch of stuff we couldn't put in there, but I just look a banana boat. Obviously, all of us have ventured very far into the Caribbean Isles.
Hashtag 311 is not good band is trending right now.
It should be. I don't know how those guys look at themselves in the mirror. Blonde-haired kid from Nebraska doing a Jamaican accent.
Informer, you know Sadie, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective says, Daddy, me know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, you know Sadie, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective says, Daddy, me know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, what's happening?
What's up?
So I was about 6 or 8 months ago before, I believe, before Anthony Cormier went into a little talking session down in Florida. Him and I were talking about when back in the 90s, and he was still working construction with
him. I don't
I
know.
I have
what
no idea
about.
What he's talking about.
It said something about Davis. Bird, what are you doing?
Okay, Bird is standing like just outside the production
he's
room.
Still eating.
Because that's where the food can be. Eating. And that's where you get the phone is ringing. Come on, Bird. Can we just agree that maybe you eat during commercial breaks? Would that be all right?
Unless it's okay. A phoner, which is one that's going to be coming up pretty soon.
Right. Then,
and then you promise you won't leave the room during commercials or anything during a phoner? That you could? Do you think that you could sit there for that long?
Thank you, Bird. We appreciate that.
Because it is a long time. I mean, you're asking if the bit starts at like, in about... in 15 minutes or something, and then it goes to 8:15. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're asking him to sit there for a half an hour.
That is a long time. I thought he was talking about Anthony Davis.
Well, of course you did, Rich, because that was what the phone screener said.
It did say that. Now, I don't know if you saw this report yesterday. It's kind of interesting. So the you know how like there's been reports everywhere saying that Jason Tatum is basically the reason that the Pelicans have been sitting around and waiting for the offseason to make the trade. They covet him. Like so any kind of talk that
that's
the Celtics
what, that's
can
who they want, right.
Yeah, that the Celtics can make some trade and still be able to keep Jason Tatum is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. However, according to some stuff that came out yesterday, unlike Lonzo Ball,
Jason Tatum actually wouldn't mind being shipped to New Orleans, because at least there, they're saying he would be the face of the franchise, because he knows that
smart.
If you stay here and you're on a team with Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis, you're never going to be the main guy. And I thought that, to me, is about as mature of an attitude as you can get.
Well, it's smart.
Yes.
I mean, that's a way to make way more money in terms of marketing and advertising yourself.
Okay, well, now that is an interesting question as to whether or not that is true. Like, would you rather be the third face on a team that's constantly fighting for a championship, or would you rather be the face of an organization that doesn't make the playoffs?
You want to be Kevin Love?
Kevin Love was never a centerpiece, or I guess he was in Minnesota, but...
No, he was third on that Cleveland team. That's yes. My point. You want to be Kevin Love, or do you want to be Anthony Davis?
Or do you... I guess it's kind of like being Gronk or Edelman.
Yeah.
You know,
I would absolutely want to go to New Orleans in this case.
Yeah, so
if making as much money as you possibly can and being the face of the franchise is what you want, then you want to be traded to New Orleans.
Sure, and you're the guy. And it sounds to me also like he and his father, unlike Anthony Davis, they have a good head on their shoulders. Because remember when they were talking to Jason Tatum's father, they said, you know, your son's been mentioned in these trades.
Right.
And he goes, I'd trade my son for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that was Cedric Maxwell had that conversation with Jason Tatum's dad.
Yeah.
Actually had this conversation with Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum understood what was going on.
You know what? If my son turned out to be an NBA player, I'll tell you what, I'd be around a lot. I'll tell you that
a lot of plane trips paid for.
My job would be a secondary concern to me.
I'll be there.
Cedric Maxwell would be able to find me whenever he wanted.
Yep. You want to talk to me? I'm right here.
Yeah, I'm right here. There's plenty of money going around.
And by the way, while we've all been watching what the Celtics have been doing, and I said this earlier, like the last two games were just, I've been awful. And Gary Washburn said it best. How did he phrase it? He said it was... let's say this first. This was the most embarrassing regular season loss of the Brad Stevens era. And that's true. I mean, that against the Clippers, that was bad. But the good thing about having your nuts kicked in like they have the past two games is that it's during a time where they're still winning. Like, they won 10 of the last 13 games. So if you do need to be woken up, because there are major problems right now with their second and third quarters and them taking the long stretches of time off,
I'm glad
it happened at this time.
Well, the thing is that... they talk so much and they have so many meetings. When you've won 10 of 13, maybe you let a bad loss go.
It was bad. Like, it was so... And they did after the Lakers thing. They're just like, all right, whatever.
All you hear is that someone's talking and someone... You know, Kyrie Irving says this and Marcus Morris says that. And they're going to have a team meeting. I mean, this sounds like a bunch of yentas sitting around at a PTA meeting.
Well, a lot of it also is because there's always microphones in their face because the expectations are so high.
Yeah, and they should be. And you know what? A microphone's in your face, that's fine. And look, I'm all for players saying things. It makes your job a lot easier.
I also like hearing a little anger every once in a while, but you're right. At this point on, maybe that's enough.
I mean, things haven't, like, fallen apart.
No, they haven't. As I said, they're still doing all right. But I like the fact that if you're going to be absolutely embarrassed, it's good to have it like this while you're in the middle of, you know, a fairly successful stretch of games.
You're supposed to win a championship with this team, or at least get to the NBA Finals with
sure,
this team.
Sure.
That is the measuring stick by which everything is put up against.
All right, what did you learn by following championship teams when you were younger? Is that what have you heard from everybody about the regular season, especially in
doesn't
February?
Mean anything. Doesn't matter.
Right. So... It would concern me as a Celtics fan that there is this much drama going on and this much public displays of frustration and talking about the future that during February, I mean, a seasoned team should be like, all right, it's February.
Well,
take the foot off the gas a little bit. Because what did they say about Dennis Johnson?
Yeah.
When he passed away?
He knew which games to play hard and which games to take off.
They said that it was one of his great skills.
Yep.
Is he knew what games to take off.
But I still don't like seeing that. As a fan, you can still be pissed off that happens.
As a fan, you can be pissed off about it, of course.
Sure.
You're watching every game, but if you're playing 82 games in a season with something as grueling as basketball, you know, there's going to be games where, I mean, not like that, hopefully, but there's going to be times where you lose.
But if you want a nice shot in the face of perspective, while all this is going on with the Celtics and the Pelicans and everything like this, I didn't realize that this was going on right down the street.
Jenkins hits his feet, corner three, no good. And Nance with the rebound, bobbled. Smith has it for the Knicks. 3 seconds, turns, fires, short on the left corner three as the buzzer sounds in Cleveland, and the Cavaliers survive against the Knicks. Unable to come through in the final minute, 107-104 at Quicken Loans Arena tonight.
The Knicks have lost 17 games in a row.
Yeah.
17 games. I saw that this morning, and I'm like, well, that can't be right. Haven't been paying too much attention to what they've been doing. 17 games in a row, and on top of that, the low point might be that yesterday they were sending out these mailers, email blast for next season's tickets, and in the picture that they had was Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it was a giant photo of one of the Knicks standing next to Kevin Durant while they were playing against each other.
Sure.
But the message was pretty clear. Wink, wink. We're trying to make a move. And finally, they got such a backlash that the Knicks were like, oh, we didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, we always use marketing for games.
I know.
I really want him to go there. Please. Especially after bitching and moaning, I got nothing to do with the Knicks. That was the first thing he said to the media last week. And he's going to wind up in New York and hate it. From the second he shows up.
He's going to regret it. There's no question. Very quickly, Matt, go ahead.
Hello?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, so I don't know if I'm alone here. And, I'm not a big fan of Anthony Davis on this team. I know we're underperforming. I know we had to make some moves, but he's made it abundantly clear that he wants to go to L.A. And I know the whole, let's talk him out of it, play with Kyrie. That's a big gamble to give up big names, picks, and talent for just maybe a season.
I get it, and here's why I'm still for the trade, and that's because if you get Anthony Davis, that all but guarantees that Kyrie Irving's going to resign here. So if trading all those guys means that Kyrie Irving's going to be here for another 4 or 5 years, then I'm cool with it.
The other part of it is that I think there was a lot of chatter around Davis, and his father spoke up. They desperately wanted to get him to L.A. quick, and they wanted to diminish any possible Celtic trade offer, by saying Davis wasn't going to resign there in the hopes of scaring Danny off. Now that the deadline has passed, I think there'll be a lot of silence.
Also, I don't think I'd be, if I was Anthony Davis, so quick to want to go to L.A. after a year here with the Celtics, because how old is LeBron James going to be at that point?
36? 36.
Because I think he's 35 now?
34, 35.
Okay, so he's going to be 36. I don't know if I would just immediately want to go there, especially if next year you happen to have a successful year with the Celtics.
I think that he wants to play in L.A., for reasons other than winning.
And maybe he does.
He can finally take advantage of his matinee idol looks. All right, we talked about something yesterday that gathered some momentum, and we didn't have time to get all the calls. We'll revisit.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Brett, you can clear these lines. Even though you have headphones around your neck, this appears. Yesterday we were talking about there was this house. There is a house. It's an Airbnb and also available on Zillow. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it's available.
It's like, a real estate website.
Oh, you could rent it or you could buy it. It's $1,000 a night on the weekends. And they have, it's a beautiful home, and it's, like, nice inside.
Yeah, like, you look at the first, 18 pages of pictures, and you're like, wow, okay, this is fairly classy. The inside, the decorations are excellent. And
yeah, right. So then they go into other rooms, and there is extreme S&M stuff.
It's the basement.
Including a pentagram. Where one can, I would imagine, fasten one too.
Yeah, it's like your arms each way and then the legs in the other way, and you basically make a human star.
So that got us talking to, first of all, for some reason, it got us talking about Playboys and penthouses and barbershops. Which still exists. And Wallach has never been into a barbershop that had pornography.
No.
Or software pornography.
When I was younger, I didn't have it where I was.
Because penthouse took a big left turn at one point and got very obsessed with a certain act that was very strange. But Guccione took a step where he got into something a little kinky. But nonetheless, I was telling a story about how, unfortunately, a guy I was friends with, brother, got murdered, and we were all at the house grieving, and they were cleaning out the room and things like that. And while they were cleaning it out, they found, like, inflatable dolls and, like, stuff like that. So you're sitting right. So the question is, 617-779-0985, have you found things in either a friend's house, a grandparent's house, your parents' house, someone's house? Because there was a guy who called in yesterday and said they had to go through their grandfather's basement because it flooded and they were getting these boxes out of it. Mm-hmm. And so out of curiosity, I mean, when I was a kid, I would go through, you know, my grandparents' stuff and things like that. And they found photos of their grandfather along with many others in kind of the, what do you call it there? The Masonic
robes.
Robes and mm-hmm. hoods. Having orgies.
He just kept the tape for rekindle old times.
He just kept the photo.
Yeah.
He just enjoyed having photos of himself.
Little keepsakes.
Little keepsakes going like that.
Okay, so this is on a completely different side of that. I mean, there's the... Yeah, I mean, because I've always thought that if, you know, the perfect app that someone could develop would be that if something that attaches to your pulse and the minute that you die, it erases all the history on all of your computers,
I like
all
that.
Your phones. It's just the minute it does that, boom, you're cleared. So no one will ever look and say, oh, wow, he's been going to these websites. But on a completely different side of this, it's funny because I talked to the story with my wife yesterday. We were talking about this. And I remember one of her friends in college, her grandmother died. And when they went to her house and they were clearing everything out, you know, this woman died fairly poor. She didn't have any money in the bank. But as they were putting all of her stuff away and like getting rid of it, they would look behind like a picture frame and there would be several hundred dollars hid behind there.
Right.
And then they went underneath the counter where they, you know, underneath the sink, and they opened up all these cans, and there were like $1,000 inside of what looks like a tennis ball thing.
Hey, now
they ended up finding $13,000 in money. Jeez. In cash stashed in all these different places around the house.
It's like Night Shift where they put all their winnings in, you know, coffee cans on the mantle.
She apparently didn't believe in banks because she didn't trust banks, but she just put everything in different cracks around the house. So if for some reason someone broke in and found one of them, there would be
Let's focus on more embarrassing things. Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was cleaning out a three-person tenement building and then Fall River for my grandfather. He was flipping it, and I found this giant mound of spanking porn, but it was reverse. All the dudes were being spanked by the girls. Some of it was drawing. Some of it was photographs. Some of it was magazines, posters, all like anything you can think of.
Yeah.
But just dudes being paddled by women.
All right, so I have a acquaintance, 617-779-0985, that did the like Storage Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would bid on, he did it for a time where you would bid on like storage containers. And he said, like, quite often you would find that they were like undercover, like sex dungeons. Like this is where dudes that were married would go out. And so he said it was like a very risky proposition.
They would set them up inside of
the storage
lockers. Oh my gosh. Now, I put it this way. I have a storage locker. The other day, I went there, and I heard some dude blasting metal music inside of it.
Yeah.
Some guy just lived in there.
Yeah. The whole idea of bidding. The guy told me, he's like, the whole idea of bidding on these. He said he just like was trying it out. The whole idea is just walking into either nothing or just disgustingness. Just think about it. Think of all the things that people would put in storage that they don't care enough about to take care of once they die or can't pay. Dan, go ahead.
A high school party, going through, you know, the parents aren't home, going through the house, of course, and a duffel bag, massive, like a hockey bag, filled with, I mean, some of those things were enormous, and I don't know what you would do with that. Where would that go? Oh, my God. And the poor girl, yeah, that was the talk of the school for quite some time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if you're having a party, and people start going through your stuff, and then you see the parents, you know, they're involved in the athletics, they're involved in all these things, and you find gigantic sex toys, then that's going to be a topic of conversation around the school.
Did you see in that house listing that when they were showing the basement and there was the bed that had all the buckles and straps, that on the bedside table next to it, there were a bunch of things, and one of them was a human arm?
No, what?
Oh yeah, it was like a full size plastic arm. And I'm like, I don't know what you do with a full sized arm.
Well, it's like sitting on your hand.
But I don't want to know. Imagine just putting that in the listing. Like, maybe you just talked to him. It's like, maybe we keep this room out of it.
No, but the hand is everything. It's feng shui. It brings everything together.
I got to find that listing again.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So in high school, I had some little bit of an issue at my friend's mother's house with some plumbing. So she says, oh, I have a pot upstairs. It's, you know, check in my closet. So I go upstairs, open it. Dildos everywhere. Not just, you know, this isn't, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. There's, like, hardcore stuff. There's, like, things that go in different holes and different places. I was never able to talk to the woman with a straight face again. And the best part of the whole thing was that she's married to the preacher in town.
Isn't that the way? That's underground stuff.
Oh, you know what? They've removed those pictures from the listing.
There's no more human arm?
No, they removed it from the listing. All right, so now I got to find, like, some ones that have captured the photos. It's like a full-on arm. Oh, okay, hang on. There it is.
Is that... And what's behind it? That's like a cat of nine tails. There is something... Okay. All right, there is something.
It's like a full grown, like it's from the elbow up. It's an arm.
But do you know how, like, in your garage, you might have something where you can, like, hang rakes and, like, you know, gardening equipment?
Yeah, yeah.
Behind that thing, they have, like, a nice holding thing for cats and nine tails and things of that nature. And by the way, that's very similar to the house that we were talking about, in that bearskin rugs, very, very prevalent.
But just the worst lighting. It's like hospital lighting in the room. It's the least seductive lighting you could possibly have.
Perhaps, you know, when it goes with the lifestyle, they like a nice artificial light.
Maybe so.
Bearskin rugs everywhere. If someone can explain the significance of bearskin rugs when it comes to sadomasochism, I would like to know what that is. Okay, well, I can't take one.
Oh, wow. No, you can't.
I can't take one.
Because that's like criminal.
All right. Now you have to tell me during the break.
It's not criminal, but it's also something you can't talk about on the radio.
Yeah. That's criminal.
Okay. Depends what country you're in. All right. Let's go to Derek. Derek, go ahead.
That's Dan.
Oh, Dan, go ahead.
Hello. Is this me?
Yeah.
All right, so I was taking down some, I work for a tree company. We were taking trees down at this place in Newton, and they were tearing down the house the next day. And they said, you know, if there was anything in the house that we wanted, we could have. And so I went in, and there was a room, and it had all kinds of Star Wars stuff in there, and just a bunch of random stuff. So I opened the closet, there was a bunch of boxes, and I just found, like, boxes and boxes of Playboys, like old ones, it was a teenage boy's fantasy if they could find this whatever. And they were tearing down the house, so I took a bunch of, like, the old, you know, ones that were probably worth money. I don't know. But
gross. Dude, there's no such thing as an old Playboy that's worth money. I mean,
So wait, it gets better though. There were these binders of, like, that's of, like, moms posing, like they were trying to you know, become a porn star, like just random Polaroid pictures.
He had
binders
them?
Just, yes, it was just binders. It was the most random, weird thing I've ever seen.
Well, now that sparks some interest. If he has Polaroids, then the man is a budding director or something. A photograph.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. There was, like, Vegas stuff. Like, the guy went to Vegas to seminars about, you know, talent of porn stuff. It was bizarre.
Well, you found yourself an aficionado. You found your man with a perfectly healthy hobby that he... now, see, that's something worth exploring. See, the old... I'm always fascinated, like, on eBay when they sell, like, old porn magazines. Like, why don't you just say, like, hey, I went to the bathroom with this thing 55 times. Would you like to bring it into your home? But then if you find a binder of Polaroids, now my interest is piqued. And he said Milfaroo-ies. So you know it was of consent and it was of age.
Yeah.
So that's where I don't take it home. Okay. Well, that's where I might put on my library gloves.
Okay. How about this? If your, let's say your parents just all of a sudden died in like a plane accident or something like that, and you had to go to their house and clean everything out, and you found a diary of your mom or your dad sitting there, would you read it?
Yes.
I don't think I would. No.
Because we never had any porn at all. And I searched
and that
every...
might make it even worse.
Well, believe me, my parents, there's nothing in there that I... From what age?
I don't know. It's just a diary or a journal and it was hidden. And it was like in a wall or something. Like, I mean, it was definitely
could be from when
hidden.
Your mom was a teenager, that kind of thing.
I'm not reading that.
Well, I would tell you this, is that it would just be complaints about me. For about like 15 years of it.
I think that goes right into the fire.
Yeah. The curiosity is too much. I have a feeling it would just be boring.
Okay, show of hands. Who reads? Who burns it? Who burns it? Show of hands.
Yeah, I probably
okay, me,
would.
Dan, and John. Who reads it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm
Mike and Bert.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading it.
I don't want to know. No, I don't want to know.
But it's not all going to be... Like about sex.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff.
It's kind of like walking through a minefield, Fred. You're just never sure, you know?
Because what if you find something like truly awful?
Yeah.
Like something like you've got a
you
relative.
You might make it to the other side
about.
Without being mortally wounded, but wait, then again, there's that one
step.
You
have a relative you don't know about?
I said, what if like you found out you've got a relative you don't know about or something?
That'd be cool.
I don't know, man. That'd be weird.
Then I could finally have a brother or sister. And my life would finally be whole. Yeah, if I found out that I had a relative I didn't know about, I would think it was cool. I mean, it'd be weird.
Sure. Yeah.
But because I don't communicate with basically any of my family except for my parents. So, yeah. And then you could have the whole thing where maybe they got money and they'll fly out somewhere nice. Then you can leech off of them.
Or you're not like your dad's kid.
See, I know that's not true.
See, now we're running in a different
direction
here. You
look too much like your dad.
Yeah.
See, now I know that's not true. Please.
But those things would go, like, I would take it, and especially if it was, like, purposefully hidden, I'd be like, nah, man, I got to burn this. I don't want to know. I'm cool, man.
Well, no one leaves a diary out in the open.
As I said, if it's hidden while you're cleaning out their stuff after they died, I'd be like, mm-mm.
I think I would have found it by now. Unless it was in their bathroom, which is with my father, a place you don't want to go.
Have you snooped through their house in Tennessee?
Oh yeah.
Like their closets and stuff?
Not in their bedroom.
Okay, well that's probably where they would keep it.
I mean, I've been in the bedroom closet. Yeah. I mean, I haven't gone through their bedroom, but I've gone through everything else. Oh yeah. I investigate every nook and cranny of people's homes.
Well,
well, yeah, if you leave me to my own devices, I get out of. I'm Sherlock Holmes, taking fingerprints. I got a black light. I'm looking for clues. No, my parents' house. I've been so bored there over like the Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'll just spend an evening just going through things. It's mind-bogglingly boring. yeah. All right, we'll take a couple more phone calls. Nothing overly disturbing, please. Because there are people who have found things that are not morally justified. We will be right back. And I'm a live and let live guy, but I'm telling you that this is not.
Yeah, we got to let wine one go.
He's gone.
Okay,
he's gone.
He's
gone. He got the hint.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault. He's just found it. But
yeah.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.